Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel. Get behind the wheel of your new Opel at the Opel Open Road event now on at your Opel dealer.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
Although the official start isn't until tomorrow, the Tokyo Olympic Games are finally underway as we speak. Football and softball fixtures have already been held. The shooting taking place this morning, and of course it all kicks off properly with tomorrow's opening ceremony. Joining us now to look ahead to the next 2.5 weeks of action, hopefully some Irish medal contenders, Sonia O'Sullivan is with us. Good morning, Sonia.
Good morning, Claire.
Thanks very much for being with us. Good. So Olympics coverage begins on RT2, RT Radio 1 and the RT Player tonight, tomorrow morning at half one. And you'll be part of that coverage over the next couple of weeks. How do you feel about the whole thing, first of all? So many COVID issues around it. Are you glad it's finally getting started? How do you think the athletes will be coping with the restrictions?
It's great to see things getting started. And I think it's been a long time coming, but then all of a sudden it seems to have come really quickly. The last few weeks, things have really picked up a bit. And, you know, just to see the athletes traveling out there and the reports coming back from the Olympic Village and everything, it's pretty exciting to see that it's actually going to take place. And we're going to be able to watch all the Irish athletes competing.
Do you feel there's an advantage in a way to not having the crowds there, to not having the pressure of family there? Does it just mean that focus becomes more prominent for these athletes rather than worrying about what's going on around them?
I'm sure most athletes would prefer that there is crowds, but, you know, you have to deal with, you know, the situation that you're presented with. And many of the athletes will have competed, you know, in front of empty stadiums over the past 18 months or so. So they're well used to it by now. And, so they won't be thinking about that. I mean, it's not something that the athletes think about. They don't worry about who's in the stands or who's not. The main thing is that they're actually ready to go out there and prepare to compete as best they can. That's like the number one priority. Everything else is just kind of extra. And, you know, it can be a bonus or a distraction or, you know, a hindrance, you know, depending on the type of person that you are and how you like to prepare for your events.
How did you feel about it as a competitor?
I never had to think about it really. I suppose the thing is, you would often go into an empty stadium before the competition began and it would look massive, like it really huge, you know, you'd feel so tiny inside there. And then when you went into a stadium and it was full of people, it seems much smaller. A bit more intimate. So I think that's the difference, is the perception of space around you when you're in there. You know, that you're competing, you know, you're the small little people running around on the track. It just changes the whole perspective of things. But I think, you know, when you're watching on TV and listening to the commentary on the radio, then most people won't know the difference.
Yeah.
I think we're in for, you know, a couple of weeks of amazing competition. I think it's fantastic that there's, you know, the biggest Irish team ever, 116 athletes. There's 58 women on the team and across 19 different sports. So I'm not 100% sure, but there's a fair chance that there'll be an Irish athlete competing most days of the games. So that's pretty exciting.
Yeah, it certainly is.
Have somebody to support, you know, every day.
But you've written about how we should measure our expectations and think about where these athletes are coming from and not put all of that weight on them when we're thinking about medal prospects, because for them, being there really is the win, isn't it, for some of them?
Yes, I mean, for most athletes, I mean, it's the greatest achievement of their life to qualify for an Olympic Games. And, you know, you would never take that away from anybody. But I think everybody who goes to the Olympic Games has a different perspective on, you know, how far they're going to get in the Games, you know, if they're going to get to the final or not. But, you know, I think most athletes would want to match the performance that got them to the Games and see, you know, where they are with that performance. For some athletes, it may be their first Olympics. So, you know, being there, going out and competing as best they can is, it's a line in the sand for the future. And others will have been there before and they'll be trying to, you know, do better this time out. Mm-hmm.
You called the failure to select Rashida Adelecki to compete in the mixed relay squad as one of the worst decisions made by Irish athletics. Tell us a bit more about why you said that.
I think, you know, in a way, I think that's been put to bed now. I think, you know, there was a moment there when, you know, Rashida, she's a great Irish athlete. She's a young athlete. She won the European under 20, 100 metres and 200 metres last week, and created one of the most exciting races when she ran in the 4x400 relay and got Ireland right up into contention, only that she'd put in too big of an effort. And, you know, it just showed her potential as an athlete. And it's just a shame that someone so young and with such great potential won't get to experience the Olympics, you know, in a relay, in a kind of a not such a high-pressure situation, because hopefully in the future she'll be able to go out there and run in 100 metres and 200 metres individually, which is what she was trying to do by running those events at the National Championships in Ireland.
Was there a logic behind it? I did see somewhere that they may have felt she was too young.
There's probably a good chance that that is why. I mean, you know, that she had a championship already this year to aim for and she was very successful in. But, you know, I think sometimes you have exceptional athletes and you have to have a bit more foresight and, you know, make decisions outside of the box, you know, because for the future of the sport. But, you know, if decisions being made and, you know, the athletes who are selected, I'm sure they will go and compete and represent Ireland, you know, as best they can. But, you know, these decisions have to be made and they're made every year. There's always someone who gets left at home that people will think should have been there.
Mm-hmm. What are you hearing about the weather conditions out there? It's very warm, 30 degrees, although it's that here, but it's a different kind of heat, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I've actually just been for a run around Cove and I was still sweating when I came out of the shower.
Right.
It nearly feels like Tokyo here at the moment. It's so humid and hot. But yeah, no, I think it's extremely hot and humid in Tokyo. And, you know, the Irish athletes are being, you know, really well catered for. They've got a training camp out there that many of them are going out ahead of time. And, you know, with weather conditions like that, it can just take a few days to get used to, you know, how your body adjusts and reacts to such heat and just being able to get the fluids back into you again to recover and be ready for the next day. The main thing out there in Tokyo is that, you know, athletes who are out there early don't get too tired, because when you're in those conditions for a long time, you can actually get worn out from it. So they have to be very careful to adjust the training and preparation accordingly.
All right, Sonia, we look forward to seeing you on the coverage of the Olympics on RTE. But for now, thank you very much, Sonia O'Sullivan. Let's go to the newsroom and Karen Creed.